I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the special edition of the Strang Report. Today, we're going to talk about Donald Trump. And not only that, but a documentary that is being re-released because it was squashed the first time. My guest is my good friend, Matt Thayer, who is the director of this film. And when I found out what was going on, I invited him to talk about it because I think it's important that we support this kind of thing, because I think that the documentary itself is important. It's called The Trump I Know. And I want Matt to explain it better than I can, but I actually saw it when it first came out. It was very, very well done. So Matt, tell me, first of all, why you're re-releasing it and what you're hoping to accomplish by this.
Well, hey, Steve, thanks for having me on. It's good to see you, buddy. So we're re-releasing this film, and people can go to ttikfilm.com to be a part of this kind of a hybrid virtual event that we're doing. It's it's kind of a virtual Fathom event, if you will. Just it's with one studio, and we're going to be pumping it out to anybody that wants to be online to watch it with us. But it's really cool because people can actually interact with us in a live Q&A kind of virtual town hall format. So it's actually like being in the room with us and the other guests that we're going to have there. And it really is a pushback against censorship and election interference in a way, because when we tried to release this film, it was actually, we tried to release it before 2020. And the problem was, is that we got slow rolled through the streaming platform process. We actually the film wasn't even available until well after the election. Nobody really actually even saw it. Very, very few people. If we have seen it, you're one of the few people. And then also social media accounts, our Twitter account back in the day, we've never been able to actually get it back. It was vaporized. Facebook wouldn't allow us to sell any merchandise like t-shirts or hoodies with just the logo on it. It just says The Trump I Know on it. And they accused us of selling alcohol and live animals. And so I don't know how.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. And so the problem with this is that, and this is where I really want people to understand and kind of get on this, is that just kind of like the Sound of Freedom, we're now starting to find out that there are projects out there that have been made, have been shelved, have been squashed, sometimes by some of these major networks or platforms. And there are probably a lot more filmmakers like me that are trying to push back against this crazy censorship. And then also when it comes to this, it's election interference, because we should be able to create a documentary. I mean, we live in a free society. I think we live in a free country. And so I should be able to, as a businessman, as a filmmaker, I should be able to make a product and put it out there for people. And if they want to watch it, they don't have to, but at least allow me to get it out there instead of squashing it. And how many more people would have voted for President Trump if they had seen some of these stories, which are remarkable? And the sad thing is that these women that we interviewed in the film had shared these stories with major media outlets such as the New York Times, Washington Post. And the story always went that they would interview 18 women, 17 women, and then they would put the article out and they say, oh, we interviewed, 19 women. And then this is what two of them kind of sort of said, and they would twist it. And all of these women were just always crestfallen that their words and they were being used in this narrative in a way that they didn't intend. And so when they were actually able to screen it and see it, several of them came to me with tears in their eyes saying, thank you so much for allowing our voices to be heard. And it really is sad that it's come to this.
It really is. And, we have so much to talk about. I want to have a conversation. I want to do a deep dive on this. But first, why don't we show the trailer so that people can just get a frame of reference in what we're talking about?
The president's my friend. Have you ever met him? Do you know him? Then how can you speak of him if you actually don't know the man?
I knew that he was going to run and be president. I said, I hate to see what you would go through, but our nation will need it.
I think he knew we were at such a pivotal point in our country that somebody had to stand up and do the right thing. Some of the smartest, most talented women that I have seen are people who work for or around President Trump. God has plans for people's lives, and he put me in this place in this moment for a reason and for a purpose.
And who here is ready for four more years of Donald Trump?
It's good to be tolerant. That's a virtue, but not when it turns into the destruction of what is good.
Now they're going to come after us. They're not going to make it easy.
He's a bigot.
A liar.
A serial liar.
He's a narcissist.
Politics is a nasty business.
Well, Trump is a weak man with no courage.
Wow, was he right on that, right? Oh my gosh.
I'm a black single mother coming from poverty, but what Donald Trump saw in me was potential.
All very just impressive women. It's awesome to see, and my father's really surrounded himself by them his entire life.
And this is where President Trump has taught us, is you fight back, you push back.
When I showed up at Trump Tower, I met a whole bunch of powerful women.
He gave me the opportunity of a lifetime, and that is the Donald Trump that I know.
Boy, that's powerful. And as I said, I saw it before. It was very interesting, a very different perspective than you usually get on Donald Trump. And, you know, I've had the privilege of interviewing him. I did this book, God and Donald Trump, and frankly, two other books later on. And so I have my own perspectives, but there's just something that you can do with film that you can't do in print. And I noticed that it said August 27th, but yep. Didn't you just tell me before we went on the air that this has actually been pushed back?
Yes. And fortunately, actually, I mean, well, and unfortunately, just because of due to circumstances with, you know, there is a lot of crazy things happening right now with Donald Trump. I mean, if anybody hasn't heard, you've been living under a rock. So that kind of got in the way of our event a little bit, and we wanted to make it as big and as good as possible. So we huddled together as a team and we looked at the dates, and we've confirmed now that we're going to be doing August 26th, and it's going to be the same live virtual event. So August 26th. So we're going to have a little bit more time to get some more people there that we wanted to be there. And then, like I said, just make the event even bigger and better. And really, like I said, this pushback against this idea of censorship, and that filmmakers like myself have to go to these kinds of lengths to create new creative ways to get our message out there.
Now, I'm an editor, so forgive me if I edit, but I think you just said August, but you meant October, didn't you?
Sorry, I meant October. Okay. October 26th, sorry.
A little bit of a difference.
It's a little bit, yeah. No, October, I think I got caught up on the Oc and the August, you know.
That's right. I just wanted to clarify that because I think it's important that we support these kinds of things. You're right, we do have a free country. We haven't lost all of our rights, but there are people with an agenda, and they tend to be the elites in the media and other powerful people. They can't take away our rights entirely. So they do all these kind of workarounds, like squashing you, like you were describing, and it's happened again and again and again. I mean, even all the things that are happening with Donald Trump are an effort to try to keep him from running, because the country was prospering under Donald Trump. The borders were secure, or getting secure, with his wall. Businesses were booming, the economy was booming, good things were happening in the minority communities, unemployment was way, way low, lots of good things were happening, but Donald Trump was messing up what was happening with Richmond, north of Richmond. You know, that song that just came out is kind of a grassroots lament on how bad things are, and there are powerful elites in Washington, both Republicans and Democrats, who have an agenda, and Donald Trump was not beholden to either party, and they couldn't control him. I personally think that he's going to triumph, but that's a discussion for another day. Right now, I want to find out more about this film that you talked about. How did you get involved initially, and what do you think the takeaway is? Is somebody going to watch this and they're going to have a warm spot in their heart and they're going to run out and pull the lever for Donald Trump? Surely there's a bigger vision than just that.
Absolutely. Well, I'll go ahead and answer the first one first. So we got initially started with this. It's interesting because it kind of was birthed out of censorship, oddly enough. My wife and I both worked on the movie Unplanned. And so I was the behind the scenes director doing all of the interviews and stuff like that with the actors. And then Joy was a...
Joy is your wife.
Joy is my wife, yep. And so she actually had a small role in the film and then was also an associate producer. And so the funny thing was, well, it's not really funny, it's kind of sad, but on the day of the film's release, which I believe was March 29th of 2017, the film's Twitter account was taken offline. It just completely went away. Like all of their followers, all their content, everything was gone. And it was, you know, a glitch. And so this was such a phenomenal thing at this point because nobody ever heard of this before, you know? And so all of the filmmakers went up to Capitol Hill, testified. So one of the filmmakers was Joe Knopp, who's the executive producer on the Trump I Know. And he went up to Capitol Hill and through a series of introductions, met Laura Trump and became friends with her, got invited to Trump Tower, met Eric and the kids, and just begin to swap stories. And Joe has this really amazing kind of American story where he grew up in the gutters, literally, of Philadelphia, and now finds himself, you know, making movies in Hollywood. And so Laura was, of course, just entranced by this story. And she swapped some of her own stories about being from North Carolina, growing up middle class, and then all of a sudden, you know, happenstance meets Eric Trump in a night with her friends. And, you know, now they're married and she's a part of the Trump, you know, dynasty. And it's like just only in America kind of thing. And so they were, you know, and then she was telling some other stories about the family and what's going on behind the scenes. And Joe's just going like, how is it that we don't know these stories? Like, how is it that I know more about the royal family in England than I do about the first family in America? And so, and then also he said there was all of these amazing women that he was either meeting or hearing about. And he's like, these are the women that I would want my daughter to emulate. These are the women that I would want my daughter to go like look up to. And so he approached Laura and said, you know, what do you think about doing a documentary and covering some of these stories? And she's like, that's great. It's amazing. And of course, that was around COVID and everything else. And so that kind of threw a little bit of wrench in the thing. But Joe came to Joy and I and said, you know, hey, what do you think about helping me do the creative aspect of the film? And so we jumped in, we did some fundraising. We got the money together, got the crew together, and we whipped out the documentary in about 90 days. And it was kind of this whole amazing...
That's fast for a film.
Super fast. And,
I mean, you can't tell by looking at it. I mean, it's as good as any documentary I've seen about Trump.
Oh, thank you. And so we ended up getting it done, and it was a kind of amazing God journey. Our entire team was Christians, spirit-filled. We would pray in tongue often because we were in situations where we didn't know who our next interview was going to be. We took communion most nights, just, you know, laying it out before the Lord. And then, you know, through the process of the editing and everything else, there were times where I didn't know if we were going to have a film. Like, it was just like, it, you know, it's like, I think most filmmakers, if you're out there listening, you kind of know what that feels like. You probably know what you feel like when you're writing a book. It's like, this feels like a mess. And then, you know, you go through the process and it comes together. But God really kind of guided us through that process too. I mean, even waking me up in the morning with like fresh ideas that I'm like bring to my editor and go, hey, you know, what if we did this? And he's like, oh my gosh, that totally solves the problem. And so that was like the process of getting the film done. And then, like I said before, I mean, we tried to get it out there, you know, just kept hitting roadblock after roadblock, which is why we're doing this TTIKfilm.com event, because we're just pushing back. We're saying like, no, I'm sorry. This isn't old news. This isn't passe. These stories are fresh because you haven't heard them and they need to be told to the American people. And so, you know, and the takeaway for me, I mean, honestly, when it comes down to it, as a filmmaker, I'm always looking for that je ne sais quoi, like that thing, you know, like that's about the story, the thing that I want to capture. And it's never about politics to me. And I want it to be like this interesting theme. And so when I was looking at this, I was like, you know, we've become this society where we trust other people's opinions about people that they don't even know. And so why are we doing this? Like, we've become this thing where it's like kind of, it's really narcissistic when you think about it. It's like, I've got to be, you know, I hear about this new thing or this person or this event or whatever, and I got to be the first person to get out there and, you know, throw out this, you know, sharp tweet about it. And, you know, just because I want to get a bunch of retweets and likes. And it, so it seems like super narcissistic to me. And then all of a sudden now, you know, you're having these opinions about people, you're destroying people's lives. And it used to be in polite society that you would say, hey, I don't know enough about that particular person or situation to have an opinion. Like, that was normal. And then all of a sudden now everybody's got an opinion. So I feel like Donald Trump is really just the perfect case study for that, because everybody in the world has an opinion of the man and knows who he is. But how many people actually know him? And what does it mean to actually know a person? And how do you get to know a person?
And you know, so that's a very good question. Yeah. And I had something come up yesterday, interestingly, along these lines. I was meeting with someone who was in a business setting, and they found out that I had written a book about Trump. Notice how I just kind of worked that in.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
And so they asked me, what is he like? And we just had a short conversation, and I've interviewed him once.
Yep.
And I told him that, and I've written about this in my books, that, you know, I had an interview, I had my questions all written out. We recorded it. I actually used it as a podcast later. But I said that when I was with him, I totally had his attention. Mm-hmm. He paid attention. And I interviewed George W. Bush, who I had a lot of respect for, in kind of a small news conference situation.
Yep.
And he was looking at his watch the whole time. I mean, he's a busy man. He runs, you know, he's a leader of the free world. Trump was not like that at all. And not only that, this is a small thing, but as I was coming in, another media was leaving. He was helping himself to some water, and he offered me a bottle of water. Mm. There is no reason somebody like him would offer a journalist a bottle of water. But to me, that just said that he was being friendly. He probably didn't even realize it. And I could say more, but these people are like fascinated on my firsthand experience, as brief as it was. And of course, these people like Paula White Cain and the others that were on the documentary, they know him much, much better. And the thing is that the media distorts things so much, especially about Donald Trump, that it's good to have credible people just tell a story and let the story speak for themselves. And that's what you're doing in this film.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's interesting because I have my own now experience with Donald Trump that it echoes what you experienced when we went. I think as far as we know, and I'm not totally positive. So if I'm inaccurate on this, I'm anticipating people to correct me. And I offer that all the time. As far as we know, we are the only documentary about President Trump that actually was invited into the White House to interview him. And so, so we're not just, it's not just about Trump. We actually, he is in the film. And I think a majority of the interview, we actually were able to cut to fit into the film. And my experience with it was crazy because we had been in DC. We had been interviewing who we could, people in the campaign, people in administration. And then we decided, okay, well, we got to pull up stakes, so we got to get back because we're just, you know, burning through, you know, hotel rooms and stuff like that. When you're doing a documentary, people don't realize like how much money can go into just travel, because it's like, you know, I got to put these guys up and we got to wait and we got to go through paperwork and all this other stuff. And it was nuts. And so we were like, all right, we're going to go home. And at the time I was living in Redding, California, which is like 2.5 hours from Sacramento, like north. So it's like, it's very far away from a decent airport. And well, Monday morning, like the, I think the week after we got back Monday, Laura Trump calls and says, hey, so there's an opportunity to interview the president on Wednesday morning. Can you be here? And I was so proud of my team. Within a span of 48 hours, we were boots on the ground in DC, ready to go to film Donald Trump at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
on a Wednesday.
That's fast.
It was fast. I mean, we had pulled 13 crew. We re-rented cars, re-rented camera, flew. I mean, it was nuts.
Let's talk about this event, because I want to encourage people to sign up. I'm going to get my ticket.
Yep.
So what can I expect? You described it as a Fathom event.
Yes.
And Fathom events is a relatively new phenomenon. It used to be that anyone with a religious type of movie,
yep,
if it was not a blockbuster like The Passion of the Christ,
right,
couldn't get any theaters, period. And then somebody came up with the bright idea of taking a couple of nights that hardly anybody goes to the theater, usually a Tuesday or a Thursday or something,
mm-hmm,
and showing a film, usually that an organization was passionate about getting
right
out there, and they would fill up the theater.
Well, right,
we did it with a documentary yep with Jonathan Cahn recently. It was Come Out in Jesus' Name, did the same thing, and there are a lot of other examples. And so it's been a platform where you can get these kinds of things done. So I sort of understand Fathom events. Now you're doing it in a virtual setting. So I can sit in my living room, or in my case, my study,
yep,
and participate, watch it, which yep I want to see anyway. But, you know, later on, it's going to be probably in streaming and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways to get it out. But this is an event.
Right.
So why do I want to be at your event? What will I get out of it?
Well, there's going to be special guest speakers that are going to be there. We are going to have MCs. We're going to have a live musical performance. There is going to be a few live audience members. About 300 people can attend live. And if you're in and around the Vegas area, you know, of course, we encourage you to come and hang out. There's going to be opportunity to meet the people and walk the red carpet and all of that. So just a kind of a normal movie premiere. But then the bulk of the event will be, of course, you know, in the middle, we'll be playing the film. But then on each end, there's going to be opportunity for our MCs, which is David and Stacy Whited from Flyover Conservatives, are going to be MCing for us.
They're good. I'm glad you got them.
They're extraordinary. And they're going to be doing Q&A kind of thing with the guests. And then also, what's really cool about this, it's so unique. It's a 360-degree LED wall, and there is filled with like a mosaic of Zoom channel, like pictures of people on their Zoom. And so it's like you're surrounded by a virtual audience. And so when you're there as a speaker, you're actually talking to people that are watching you on the wall, and you can see all of them. And then when somebody has a question and they're picked on to ask a question, their Zoom box gets bigger and they appear, and then, you know, you interact with them and they ask the question, they can see you, you see them, and then it's, you know, goes back down, and then somebody else asks a question. And so it's just really, really amazing way to be interactive with the audience in this, you know, hybrid kind of live setting.
Before we run out of time, talk yep to me about the process of getting a ticket. I need to get my ticket.
Yep.
I want to put my money where my mouth is. And we need to support you. People
yes
need to support you, because it's you're doing something good. This has a potential of being big.
Yes.
And we need to show the other side that they can't censor us, so
right
to speak. And also, you know, this is not specifically about supporting Donald Trump, but
no,
the idea, we're supporting getting the story out, and people can make their own decision after
yep
seeing the film. So what do I do? Matt.
You go to ttikfilm.com.
TTIK okay, say that film slowly. You spit it out. It sounds like a radio station. So
TTIK film.
So it's the initials of the Trump I know.
Yep. ttikfilm.com. And there's a couple of options. Most people pick the $25 virtual interactive ticket. And that's one that, you know, you'll be able to just watch from home. And then you're sent a link. And then on that day, you just log into that link at 1 p.m. Pacific or 4 p.m. Eastern. And all of the details will be there. And then you just watch the film, and then you watch the event. And there's going to be the opportunity to interact. So it's a complete all-inclusive. It all happens within that site. So you don't even have to go into any other program or anything like that. You just click on the link and it's ready to go.
That's great. So what's the follow-up to this? You'll show it?
Yep.
It'll be on streaming after that, I presume.
We're gonna try to get it back on the major streamers, and then we're also gonna be putting it onto Locals and Rumble as a paid purchase for a little while, and then eventually, you know, it'll be, you know, free for subscription type services and things like that. But we're basically just doing a complete new rollout.
So, yeah, you're starting over. That's good. You need to. And even though it's 2 months from now, closer to the event, I want to have you back on, get an update, you know, tell some of these stories again and urge people to go and encourage your friends. People can, for a $25 ticket, I guess you can fill up the whole room with your family, right?
Yeah, have a barbecue, make a night out of it, you know, invite your friends. We've had a lot of people who voted for Biden or were Democrats watch this film and still go like, oh, you showed me something different. And because we didn't attack anybody, we didn't mention Biden once in the entire film. And we didn't attack Democrat. The word Democrat is only used once in the whole film. And that's when Donald Trump said it, because he said Republicans, Democrats and independents need to come together. That's the only time that the word was ever uttered. It wasn't about divisiveness. It wasn't about politics. It was about a person. And it was about our tendency to believe what it is that we hear, and that we've become people like that. And we really need to look at ourselves and become better people.
Well, you're very good at that. I've seen some of the films you've done, and you make people think. You always have a unique perspective. I've come to... Well, first of all, we're friends, but I've come to respect the, shall I say, genius that you are with filmmaking.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you're out there doing this. And actually, in media, it's the success of one thing that spawns others.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in publishing, it was the success of The Harbinger with Jonathan Cahn that sparked, you know, all the other things that we've done with Jonathan Cahn. If that book had fizzled, the other books probably would not have come, even with my own book. Notice how I worked that in.
Perfect.
I did several other Trump books because the first one was successful. So we need to make this successful. As we wrap up with just a few seconds, I want to give you the last word.
Well, I just wanted to just real quick finish that story about Donald Trump. When he walked into the room, he was late. And a lot of his people didn't want him to be there because there was something else. You could tell something else had happened and he needed to address something. But when all of a sudden Laura came in and said, hey, can you give us 10, 15 minutes and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden you saw him adjust in exactly what you experienced. He became present. He sat down, he took a drink of water, dabbed his forehead, says, where's my camera? And sat down and gave us this incredible 10-minute interview, like I said, which is in the film that you can see on October 26th by going to ttikfilm.com. And like I said, the Holy Spirit was all over this project. My team was checking in with him every single day. And I think that anybody that watches this that is tuned into the Spirit is going to feel it on the project.
Wow. Thank you for what you do. And I just pray that this is a great success. Sign up for it. And share this podcast with others. If you don't subscribe and tune in again for another episode of The Strang Report. God bless you.
From 1975, Charisma has been at the forefront of reporting on revival, miracles, and the move of God in our world. Charisma Magazine is now going exclusively online to reach beyond the physical barriers of a print issue. Charisma Magazine Online is committed to bringing you the very best Spirit-led content to inspire your walk with God in this upside-down world. Go to mycharisma.com for exclusive content today.